Macmillan Audio presents Night of the Raven, Dawn of the Dove by Rati Mehrotra. Read for you by Zara Naqvi. Chapter 1. A light breeze wafted through the latticed windows of the royal bedchamber, carrying with it the scent of night-blooming jasmine and drying the sweat on Katiani's brow. The night was warm, too warm for spring. She'd been waiting for the assassin for over an hour, hidden behind the half-drawn drapes, inhaling their musty odour and trying not to sneeze. Her right foot had gone to sleep, and the windowpane dug into her back. But she dared not move. A nightjar called, its trilling coo startling her before devolving into a series of clicks. She clutched the wooden pipe in her hand, her nerves thrumming with anticipation. Moonlight filtered into the room, hiding more than it revealed. But she knew every inch of the space, from the ornate wardrobe in one corner to the gilded mirror opposite, from the rich tapestries that covered the wall to the massive four-poster bed in the middle, the bed on which the king and queen of Chandela would have slept tonight had Katiani not made them switch rooms. The blue butterfly tattooed on her neck gave a single reassuring beat of its wings. The queen was safe, for now. The door edged open and her heart jumped. She strained her eyes, peering through a crack between the drapes. A dark figure crept into the room, moonlight glinting on the blade in his hand. Black-masked, cat-footed, silent as death, he approached the bed and raised his blade. Now! Katiani stepped out and blew the sleep dart from her wooden pipe. It flew straight and true toward the intruder's chest. At the last moment, alerted by the minute whoosh of air, he tried to twist out of reach, but the dart buried itself in his shoulder. He clutched it and staggered back to the door, which had been left unguarded for him. He had great vitality, she had to give him that. The dart would have paralysed an ordinary person instantly, but he managed to make it out the door before collapsing. She went into the corridor and rang a brass bell embedded in the wall to summon Garud, the elite royal bodyguards. Then she bent over the unconscious assailant to examine him. Torchlight flickered from sconces further down the corridor, revealing a bald, skinny man clad in a black cotton tunic and pants, his face covered with a mask that appeared to be melded to his skin. His hand was still curled around the hilt of his weapon, a double-edged dagger with an ivory handle. There was no insignia on his clothing or his blade, but interrogation would soon reveal who he was working for. Triumph welled up in her. They'd finally caught one of the bastards alive. Five burly guards dressed in the Garud uniform, dark grey knee-length tunic, leather sword belt, baggy pants and white turban, came running up as she patted his body down for weapons. At their head was Tanoj, the chief of Garud, a heavy-set, grey-haired, middle-aged man with piercing eyes and an unmistakable air of command. He frowned as he took in the scene. "One of the men can do that, Katiani," he said, a note of reproof in his deep voice. He'd known her for years, taught her what she knew of sword fighting, and he still never got used to seeing her manhandle male offenders. His attitude irked her, but she wasn't going to argue with him in front of the others. "Yes, sir." She withdrew a kukri knife from one boot and a push knife from the other and handed it to Falgun, a junior guard. "Have these examined. Be careful. The edges might be poisoned." As they'd learned to their detriment from the first assassination attempt 6 months ago, the guard who'd handled those weapons had been sick for weeks. Falgun bowed and took the
sample complete. Ready to continue?